Okay, everybody take one good cough. Okay, everybody cough. I want to give you 30 seconds to cough. Okay?
I'll try.
Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. We are now into the trumpet judgments that happened, that began when Christ opened which seal? The seventh seal. And chapter 8 deals with the first four trumpets judgments. And we need to understand that even through all this, that the witness, okay, and the mercy of God are always present, even in the face of judgment. You can't go so far that God can't reach you. But you can determine that you're going to reject Him. And if you've made that determination, your heart can get hardened and you may never find Him. And I hope that is not the case. So tonight, as we review, we see the seventh seal and that there was silence in heaven for half an hour. When we talked about the first part of Revelation, when everybody is praising God and glorifying Him and everything else, and then it stops, that's a significant event. God's judgment is significant, and we need to understand the significance of it as it applies to us. The scroll is now fully open, and the reaction in heaven was awe because of the magnitude of these trumpet judgments. There are seven angels. They're given seven trumpets. They stand before God. And folks, we need to stand before God. You can't serve God unless you're in His presence. You can't do what God wants you to do unless you're in, you see Him. Do you see Him tonight? Do you see Him work through the day today? So there are seven angels. And then there was a single angel with a golden censer, misspelled, okay? The censer basically was where they had hot coals, and they put incense on it, and it represented the prayers. And there's prayers of the tribulation saints that haven't been answered yet. They've been praying for God to judge their persecutors, and it's going to happen. This angel is acting symbolically as a high priest would in the Old Testament, because he's interceding for the people. God answers the prayer of the tribulation saints. Now, there are the first four trumpets. And we talked about thirds. We went back to Genesis and found out what was created on the third day, what was created on the fourth day. And God is now taking judgment on creation. Romans chapter 8 talks that all creation groans, looking for the redemption. But the first trumpet in verse 7, a third of the trees and all the green grasses burn up. The second trumpet in verses 8 and 9, a third of the sea, this meteor or this mountain, burning mountain, falls under the sea. A third of the sea, a third of the sea life, and a third of the ships are destroyed because of this catastrophic event. The third trumpet, verses 10 to 11, a third of the fresh water is corrupted by a thing called wormwood, which is a star. Okay? And it makes everything bitter. You think there's a third, this third thing comes in? God is three in one. Satan tries to counterfeit it, but they're three individuals because they're not God. And so these are taking on in all the things that the Antichrist and eventually the beast will bring up. The fourth trumpet, a third of the sun and the moon and the stars are darkened. I don't know how this is going to happen. And you could go nuts trying to come up with ways in your mind that these things would happen. You know something? It's better just to have the faith to say that that's what God's Word says and that's what's going to happen. So tonight, we're going to go through what chapter 8 ended with. There was an eagle flying through the heaven and a voice and an angel going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, woe to the earth, for the three trumpets that are yet to sound. If you thought the first four were bad, wait. Chapter 9 is an incredible, incredible account. The first two woes, Revelation chapter 9, God's judgment of sin, and it's severe. You know, you hear people say, well, this is hell on earth. Or I'm doing my penance now because God will love me and He'll take me to heaven on this. You haven't seen anything yet. Hollywood can't even imagine the level of God's judgment. As our mind is finite, we're dealing with the infinite God and we're dealing with infinite judgment. And as we go through this chapter, we ought to stand in awe about what God is going to do. We went through Zechariah and we saw these things happen. But I'm so glad I'm not going to go through this.
Amen.
You should be glad you're not going to go through it. Even when things are not going well, praise God, I don't have to suffer the judgment of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? So in verses 1 through 12, we see the fifth trumpet. We're going to read all this and then kind of break it down. It says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star far from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. See, God doesn't judge us. Our judgment was put on Christ. You don't have Christ as your Savior. If you don't have a relationship with Him, you have the wrath of God abiding on you tonight. And you will die, and there will be judgment. And it will be severe. And without Christ, it will be an eternity separated from God in hell. Verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Ever been stung by a scorpion? It is very painful, okay? And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Have you ever seen a locust that big? Okay? And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as hair of women, and their teeth were as teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. I haven't seen any locusts look like that.
No.
Okay?
I hope not.
And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. If that wasn't enough. If that wasn't enough. So there's several things in this passage. The first one is, who was given the key to the bottomless pit? The star that fell from heaven. Okay? So who is that? Well, Isaiah chapter 14 can shed us some light on this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Verse 15, yet thou should be brought down to hell to the size of the what? Pit, okay? This bottomless pit, another word for it is the abyss. Okay? When you think of an abyss, you think of something that never has a bottom, basically, in this case. We're talking about to the center of the earth. There are things in the ocean called abysses. And they are 40 and 50 and 1,000 feet deep. And you can't even get there. It's not humanly possible. Well, Christ even himself said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. See, Jesus Christ is God, so to him it's all the same time. It's all the same time. So because of these and other scriptures, the star that falls from heaven, Satan. Okay? And he's given the key. Well, who gives the key? Christ. Whose all power and authority are given to who? Christ. He said that before he ascended. Okay? So what does the key represent? Well, Revelation 1:18 says this, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the what? Keys of hell and of death. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, because all authority is given to Christ. Now here is a concept that we need to understand. You know, the world is bad now. But it's not as bad as it could be. You know why? Because the church is here and God's given us mercy and grace. But when that mercy and that grace is taken away, it will be horrible. Remember Job? We studied Job. Okay? Who tormented Job? Satan. How did he torment him? He was given permission by God to do this. Some people would say that God is out of control here. God is always in control.
That's right.
God uses the forces of evil to judge evil. Just look at Israel. So God uses instruments for judgment. And these instruments are fallen angels. And the instrument in this case, the who starts this all off is Satan. So, Satan falls from heaven. He's given the key to open the bottomless pit, which is also called the what? The abyss. It's also called something else, the deep. We'll get to that in a minute. And the key represents the authority. Okay? You can't open a door unless you have the right key. And if you have the key, then you have the ability to open what? Any door that that key works in. So there we go there. Now, what is the bottomless pit? We studied this a couple Sundays ago. Luke chapter 8, verse 30 through 31. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the what? Deep, the abyss. See, those demons knew that that was the rightful place. And I keep on harping that, why do demons and why do people outside God's house know more about the Bible than we do?
Yeah.
Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, there are demons in the abyss now. They've been there for millennia, centuries, whatever. They're let out. Because God says, you can have your day. I'll have the ultimate word. But you're going to have your day. And God's using them to bring judgment on the world. So that's the picture here. And if 2,000 devils or demons were in two guys, and it scared every man away, that they wouldn't go up to the mountain, they wouldn't go by where these two dudes were. What happens if you release thousands of them? You think you have it bad now on the earth? You haven't seen anything yet. No one can even imagine this. So what comes out of the pit? The first thing that comes out of the pit is smoke that darkens the world. You know, we've talked about earthquakes and things. There was a volcano in Indonesia called Krakatoa. When it blew up in the late 1800s, it just darkened the sun. And it had an effect on the sky for 2 years. So when this happens, the effect is going to be long-lasting. See, all the pieces are there for catastrophic things. Things, you know, we have flooding up in Nebraska. You need to pray for them. That's horrible stuff that's going on up there. But it pales in comparison to what happens when God's judgment is real, when God's mercy is restrained and judgment falls down on the earth. And then there are locusts that are not natural. Some people say, well, they're helicopters. You know, there's all sorts of wild and wacky things. Think about this. Demons are what? Fallen angels. Okay? We've seen some of the creatures that God has created that are in heaven, and they are fearful to look on. They are fearful to describe. So why is it far-fetched that these angels are, or these fallen angels or these demons are going to be fearful to look at and going to have some characteristics of angels that are good? But they're all bad because they turn their back on God. You turn your back on God, there's nothing good come out of it. You turn your back on God, there's judgment coming. You turn your back on God, you become an agent of evil. You turn your back on God, you are of your father, the devil. Don't turn your back on God. So, there's locusts that are not natural. Why? They don't eat vegetation. Remember in Exodus, one of the plagues were locusts. And what did they do? They ate up everything. Have you ever seen a swarm of locusts? They don't leave anything. But what is the command to the locusts? Don't eat any green thing. You know why? Because God's still in control. They have to do exactly what He's going to allow them to do and no more. So that's the first thing that makes them unnatural. They don't eat green things. They have the power of scorpions. Now, a locust only bites. This thing has a tail on it that's got a scorpion. And when we lived in another house across town, we had an infestation of scorpions in the house. They fall off the ceiling, onto the bed. You hear them at night. You became a very light sleeper. one day I was painting my Kristen's bedroom, and she had an Alf stuffed toy. And I picked up that Alf, and all of a sudden I felt something like taking a hot knife and going right down my big toe. And it was a squirt. I looked down there and I go, ah. You know what my first thing was? Screamed at high heaven. I screamed like a little girl. Think about this though. Okay? You got these things coming out of the pit, going around stinging people. Can you imagine the screaming? And anybody who's been stung by a scorpion understands this is a very painful thing. And everybody was panicked, and the kids thought I was going to die. And Angie called poison control. Well, what do we do about this? And get some bleach, get some thing, you'll be okay. About 30 minutes was over. But these stings last 5 months. 5 months, okay? They inflict misery on those that do not know God. Now, here is a very interesting statement. Who controls life and death? God does, okay? It says in verse 6, it says, "In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." This pain is so excruciating that they want to commit suicide, but they're not permitted to. Can you imagine that? You know, a single sting of a scorpion makes you yell and scream and everything else. They're yelling and screaming for 5 months, and they're not allowed to die. You know why? Satan doesn't want them to die either, because these are Satan's followers who are stung. Only the ones that don't have God's seal. So the 144,000 aren't stung. The ones that believe the 144,000 don't receive the mark of the beast, they're not stung. You can't resist God and expect to escape judgment. And if you think this 5 months of utter torment's bad, think about what hell's talking about. Christ says, it says, utter darkness. There'll be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. People gnawing their tongues for pain, and they can't get relief. This is just a precursor from hell for these people. And it's sad. It ought to motivate us to go out and tell people about Jesus so they don't go there. So they're not there. If this doesn't motivate you to spread the gospel, there's something wrong. You want your family to go through it? You want your friends to go through it? You want your co-workers to go through it? These people want to die, and they can't die. Because God won't let them. Won't let them die. They look like things you've never seen before. They have faces of men and tails like scorpions, and they're the size of horses, and they run around, and they are noisy. And if you knew what the inflicted pain was going to be, and you heard that coming, everybody been chased by a swarm of bees? I have. And you hear them buzzing, and you run for your life. Can you imagine this? People say, well, I'll be down there, all my friends in hell. Really? Well, I'll go get my bunker and I'll sit and I'll wait out the tribulation period. Nah. There's no escape of this. They don't die. And remember, except the days were shortened for the very elect's sake, and there'll be nobody get through it. So they look like, and they have breastplates of what? Iron. And that's where people get the idea, crowns of gold and all that other stuff. They think they're flying helmets and the tail. Helicopter looks like this scorpion and all this other stuff. No, these are demons. Where do they come from? They come out of the abyss where God had put them in the first place. And they're allowed to run rampant. Ah, here's another reason they're not natural. Proverbs 30 verse 7 says the locusts are a mighty people, but they don't have a king. It clearly says in the scripture here, it says, and they had a king over them. They had someone who was calling the shots. This isn't just a swarm going around on its own like birds. They had a direct command to do things. And they executed. And the king's name, Abaddon, means destruction. Apollyon means destroyer. And that's their purpose. What does Satan do? Goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what?
Devour.
Folks, it's not a joking matter when God's judgment is cut loose. Hebrews says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Right.
If I can rattle your cage tonight, I hope so. Because this ought to make us live holy. This ought to make us go and convince others that they don't want to go through this.
Right.
So there's the fifth trumpet. But the worst is yet to come. Verse 13, it says, oh, one woe is past and two more is on their way. So the sixth trumpet is the rest of the chapter, verses 13 through 21. And the scripture says this, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to what? Slay the third part of men. Now, if you're into fractions, a quarter of the world's population has already been destroyed. So you only have 75% of them left. And now a third of them, that's another 25% of the original number. So half of the world's population done with these woes right here. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. How many demons went after Satan? A third. We've already seen that in heaven there were thousands of thousands and ten thousands upon ten thousands, and they were all giving glory to God. So you take a third of this large number, you're going to have a large number. Okay. Now, Euphrates is an interesting thing because in the ancient world, it divides east from west. And some people will say, well, this is, you know, China and India. And it could be. It could be. They are godless nations. We're a godless nation, too.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter of the world's population sits in China. More than half of it sit over there in Asia. It says, a number of the horsemen, 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Okay? And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. Jacinth is a red colored stone. And the heads of the horses were heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. This ain't an army. You got to take this stuff literally. These are terrible creatures that were supposed to honor God, and they didn't, and now they would turn loose to obey Satan. By these three, was the third part of men killed. And here's the three plagues. By, what's the first one?
Fire.
And by smoke. And by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Well, that's napalm. That's a flamethrower. No. Flamethrowers don't do brimstone. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Can you imagine how far man can go? We think man's gone downhill right now. He's going to go a lot farther. He's going to go in the pit himself. So the location of the sixth angel, where was he? He was at the golden altar of incense where all the trumpet stuff began in the first place. And on that, on the corners were little horns, little protrusions there. And that's where the prayers were offered. That's where the incense was offered. This is where God's judgment is coming from. Revelation 8:3 says that another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. So this is where he is. What was the commandment of the angel? Blow the sixth trumpet, and then do what?
Loose
four angels. Now, these are not good angels, because good angels aren't bound. These are four more strong demons that are where? Bound in the Euphrates River. Okay. So, where? Let's do a geography lesson again. Where is the Euphrates?
Iraq.
Let's see. That's where the Garden of Eden was, because the four rivers came out of it, and that's where sin began. Shortly thereafter, that was where the first murder was. Shortly thereafter, there was this thing called the Tower of Babel.
Yep.
Shortly thereafter, I think I got them mixed up. Before that, there was all the stuff that they were trying to do that caused the flood. Babylon, all the way through the Old Testament, is a place, is the issuing of where idolatry came from. Zechariah chapter 5, there was a woman in an ephah in a basket. Who was that? Babylon. That was the entire world system. The world system we are in right now originated there. So this judgment is coming on the world system. The results on the earth. There is an army unleashed of 200 million of these creatures. Okay? Fire, smoke, and brimstone. There are other places in the Old Testament where fire and smoke and brimstone was a result of the judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? There was hail and light and fire, and the plagues came out. So there are some. It's these three plagues, fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of the men were slain. So now we've lost half of mankind that was left after the rapture. And that's not sealed by God. Okay? The results in men's hearts, There's no change in who they worship. And folks, don't find it incredible that people can reject Christ no matter how much preaching they get, no matter how much exposure they get to God now. Because after all this, look what happens. And we should know about that because these don't have the seal of God in their foreheads. And therefore, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 says, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Isn't it damnation to want to die and not be able to die? Isn't it damnation to be basically put in agony for 5 months? And even when all this has happened, isn't it an agony enough to be running from the sound of these locusts and now these horses and people still don't change? It says here that they worship the worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. And you know, unfortunately today, people who claim the name of Christ and claim a relationship with Jesus Christ still have idols in their heart. We have still things in our lives that separate us from God. And we don't care. And they don't care. Folks, we need a good dose of holiness. We need a good house cleaning. We need to do that. And there's no change in their actions. Take your Bibles and turn over to Romans. The word for sorceries is pharmaceutikina. It's the Greek word that we get pharmacy from. Okay? But in Romans chapter 1, I think this kind of sums it all up. Starting in verse 23, it says this, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made unto a incorruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even that women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Don't tell me homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle. It's sin. Amen. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. We talked about Sunday morning that because the city, the Gadarenes, wanted Christ to go, he left. You turn your back on God, God's still there, you're running away. And we never see another chance. We don't see Christ going back through there again. And boy, it's a very dangerous thing to reject God. It's a dangerous thing to reject His call of mercy and of grace. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. We just read that, didn't we, in Revelation? backbiters, hater of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God. Here are people going through the woe judgments, and they still curse God, and they still don't give up their idolatry. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See, mankind is never going to change when they're under the influence of Satan. Mankind can change through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know where you would spend eternity after this, you need a relationship with Him. God sent His Son in a manger, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life. His name was Jesus. He took the place of a murderer on the cross, paying the penalty of sin, which is death. Was buried, and on the third day rose again to show that He has power over sin and over death. Amen. Well, I've heard this all before. They did too. But my question is tonight, have you received Him as your Savior? What will you hear in your future? Will you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or is your future the sound of trumpets and a swarm of locust wings and the sound of horses' feet and the cry of agony and pain as God unleashes judgment on the world? What will you hear in your future? You know what you'll hear right now in your heart. Don't turn your back on God. Follow Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Have a relationship with Christ. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand of the judgment that's coming, that we would warn others not to go through this. Father, this is not a joke. This is Your Word. And Lord, I just ask that You just help us, Lord, to understand it and to heed it and to preach it. Lord, search our hearts. Father, someone that's struggling, Lord, with something in their life, help them, Lord, to confess it tonight and have the faith to overcome it. Father, someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, and the first note, Lord, help them, Lord, to have the courage to come forward, and we'll show them from God, from Your Word, how they be saved. Lord, we thank You for the revelation. We thank You for the picture of what we won't have to go through if we have a relationship with You. Be with us, time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.